I got to tell you, the first time I ever met Joyce was in an aerobics class at Nautilus, and I thought I was back there today. Honestly, it was the 80s. Remember those colors and the leg warmers and the... Oh, it was awful. Anyway, it's great to be here. And I just wanted to also give a little shout-out for our great event, the coldest night of the year. Joyce lent me her toque, and I'm sure she doesn't have cooties, so I'll get them on. But once again, we are doing the Coldest Night of the Year walk on February 22nd in support of St. Vincent Place. And you can be involved by joining a team. Joyce has the cool dudes, and she'd be happy to take anyone. And she's always the biggest team we have. You can join a team, you can donate, and you can volunteer. So February 22nd, you can check out the website and get involved in this great event. It's our 8th year, and last year we raised over $89,000. So that's amazing. Joycey Woycey. All right, well, fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. You know, when I think about faithfulness, and I was contemplating this for a long time, but this message had a hard time getting from here or here, wherever they come from, out onto the paper. I sent my PowerPoint to dear Jen, who is so faithful, at 12:30 this morning. So, it's all good though. God has good things in store for us. It's very fresh. But when I consider faithfulness, unfortunately, my mind travels to the antithesis, the opposite of faithfulness, and I think of unfaithfulness. Because really, our world is full of unfaithfulness, and faithfulness is unique. So we're far from a faithful society. The things we buy, they don't deliver as promised. They don't last. I bought a beautiful stainless steel fridge for my cottage. 9 years later, I had to throw it in the dump. Like, 9 years, $2,000 fridge. How does that happen? Unfaithful. Politicians are chronically unfaithful to their promises. Don't want to bring up anything, but, you know, it's the truth. Employees and employers are unfaithful to their word, and they lack integrity. Businesses are unfaithful to their contracts. Friends fail us. Parents are unfaithful to their children. That's why we have organizations like Children's Aid, and there's so many children in foster care. Families are imploded by the unfaithfulness of a spouse or a parent. You know, as I reflected on this, I thought it's no wonder the pet industry is booming. You think about it. There's clothes for pets. There's everything for pets. Perhaps people feel the only thing they can trust is their faithful pet. Everybody else has let them down. But unfortunately, our pets don't last very long, and their lifespan's a bit short, so even they let us down. But thankful for any of us who have a relationship with the living God through his son Jesus, know that when we consider someone who is faithful, it is our dear Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness. He's faithful in all things at all times. He's the immutable one. Do you know what immutable means? Unchanging. We know nothing of immutability in our world. Everything is always changing, but God is never changing. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, he has gone ahead of us. He has gone behind us. He goes beside us, and he's going before us. His plans and purposes will never fail and will endure for not just our lifetime, but for all eternity. What an amazing foundation to build our lives on, the faithfulness of God. Numbers 23, I forgot my little clicker. Jen's probably saying, what's she doing? Numbers 23, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will not he not fulfill it. Think about that. That's a place to land every day. You know, when we think about it, though, aren't we supposed to be studying the fruit of the Spirit, studying the nine graces of the Christian life evident in the character of anyone who's a follower of Jesus? Yes, we are. So let's get back to our primary verse, Galatians 2, 22, 23. Say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So for the next three coffee hours, we are going to be discussing faithfulness. It is such a huge topic, and it's probably why I had a hard time getting it onto paper. Where do you narrow it down to? So we need to recall, or if anyone hasn't been here through all of these studies, and you may be new, we need to just do a little review of what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the outworking of the Holy Spirit, singular. It's a singular fruit. Alistair Begg says there are no lopsided Christians. This fruit is the full orbed version of Jesus' character being increased in our lives. Matthew 7:20 reminds us that we will know true followers of Jesus by their fruit. And when the fruit of the living God is actively at work in a person wholly surrendered to Jesus' lordship in their life, they will become a radically different person. Because it's the fullness of all those fruits, all of those characteristics, it's the fullness of that that comes out in one fruit, and we become this whole other person. Now, we're 17 months into this study. And it's called Living Beyond Ourselves. And if you've been with us from the beginning, I want to ask a question. How are you doing? Has the teaching and the Bible study of the fruit of the Spirit gone deep into your soul, convicting you of things that grieve the Holy Spirit and hinder His transformative power in our lives? Do people see a difference in your character and how you respond in challenging circumstances? Do you feel the freedom that comes from allowing God to do His good work in you, to sanctify you and make you more like Jesus? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. These commands are not burdensome. These are where true life lives. So today's fruit is faithfulness. It's an important aspect of that outworking. We think of unfaithfulness. We've listed some things that are unfaithful, and it's all around us. And if we followers of Jesus surely trust in and live out faithfulness in our lives, we will stand out and we will bring glory to God as we remain faithful as our God is faithful. So we know Candy, she wants some definitions up here, so let's give her some. She would have way better ones. But anyway, this is what I came up with. Godly faithfulness is steadfast in affection or allegiance, loyalty, dependable, resolute, constant, reliable, true to one's word, promise keeper. God is all those things and more. And I truly believe that we cannot grasp what faithfulness is. We can't live it out in our lives until we truly grasp the faithfulness of God. We can't produce this fruit if we don't understand where faithfulness comes from. It's the character that is a very attribute of God. And faithfulness is who God is. I read a couple of books lately, and I've read one a few times. A.W. Tozer's Knowledge of the Holy, little tiny book, very manageable. Another book, The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink, another very small book. Classics, old books, and they talk about the attributes of God. And it's a great study if you ever want to just go through the attributes of God, because when we get a high view of God, we get a right view of ourselves, and then we can be changed to be more like him. So A.W. Tozer says something in The Knowledge of the Holy. All of God's acts are consistent with all of his attributes. No attribute contradicts any other, but all harmonize and blend into each other in the infinite abyss of the Godhead. God, being who he is, cannot cease to be what he is. And being what he is, he cannot act out of character with himself. He is at once faithful and immutable, so unchanging. So all his words and acts must be and remain faithful always. That is a complex thing to think about, but a very precious thing to grasp. That God is all merciful and yet just. God is love, but he is holy and he needs to judge sin. And so sometimes we like certain attributes of God and we want to throw other ones out because they make us uncomfortable. But God cannot be more one thing than the other. He is whole and equal on all these attributes. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Faithfulness is who he is. You know, the ultimate example for us to follow in this attribute is God himself. And if you go through the Bible, there is the written testimony of God's revelation of the faith of his faithfulness. Even by giving us the Word of God, giving us a Bible in our hands that we can read in our language, understandable, is a display of God's faithfulness to us. Over the last few years, in my daily devotional time, I have been reading through numerous Read the Bible in a Year plans. I highly recommend it. It takes discipline, and it takes time, but not as much time as you might think. And you know, last year, for the first time, I think in my whole life, I actually completed the plan in a year. You know, other times I've been, oh, okay, it's April, I'm finished now. This year, I did it from January to December 27th. It was amazing. So anyway, there's no other way for us to fully understand the full narrative of God's story and his plan of redemption for the world than to read the Bible from cover to cover. There are no shortcuts. You have to do it. You can't pick and choose what you want. Oh, I like the red letters only. Oh, I like the Gospels only. Oh, I don't like Paul. I'm not going to read about him. No, you need to read the whole Bible. It's tough, slogging through some of those spots, but read it, and you will see the faithfulness of God from the beginning of time. So let's dive a little deeper into the faithfulness of God as he's revealed it to us in his word, and then see what it requires of us, that fruit of faithfulness in our lives. So God reveals his faithfulness to us in one way, in creation. In our songs this morning, we sang about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God instituted days, months, seasons, and years. All living things, the whole universe, depends on the faithful provision of God in his creator, in his created universe. Have you thought about that? Everyone benefits from the faithfulness of God, whether they acknowledge it or not. Psalm 89:8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. The second way that God shows his faithfulness to us is to his people. You know, Ruth is an expert on this. And if Ruth was up here talking about faithfulness, she would put her time, her chart on the wall, and she would show the beginning of time and to the end of time, and she would have Abraham, and she would have David, and she would have the cross in the middle. And so just picture all that right now for me, because I'm not doing it. But it shows the faithfulness of God in the timeline in history and how God has been faithful to this world that he created. We think of that. Abraham, Jacob, David, Jesus. The fact that Israel is a nation is a testament to the faithfulness of God. The fact that the church of Jesus, of which we are a part, started with a motley crew of 11 uneducated men, 120 followers when he left the earth, men and women, and it's a miracle of his power and faithfulness that the church has survived and we are here 2,000 years later and billions of people are followers of Jesus in the history of mankind. And so he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God's faithfulness. He is still building his church. He's still at work fulfilling his promises to people. And so how about you? As you look back on your life, can you testify to the faithfulness of God? I know I can. We could stop right now, ladies, and we could be here all day. And you could walk around this room, and there are some amazing ladies in this room who could testify to the faithfulness of God in their life if you have any doubts that God is real. That's the best place to land, the Bible and other people's stories. So God is faithful through his word. God's word is full of his promises, and all his promises are yes and amen. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." A patient, faithful God is a good God. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So many of God's promises in his word have already been fulfilled, but there's more yet to come, and his word shows his faithfulness. And then he shows his faithfulness through his son Jesus. Chapter 3 of Genesis, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and faced the consequences of their sin, God is faithful, and he points forward to the time when he will send a savior to crush Satan and defeat sin and death and make a way back to God through Jesus' sinless life, his sin-bearing death, and his sacrifice on the cross. The prophet Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus that the Savior would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons." God's faithfulness, he sent his son to die in our place and has given us the gift of faith. When we read in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves, but a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast." Have you by faith tasted of the faithfulness of God by bowing the knee, repenting of your sin, and trusting the finished work of Jesus on the cross for you? Because one day that humble servant Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will judge the living and the dead. And if God is faithful to his promises, he is faithful to his promises. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Sometimes we like to think of the promises of God to give us peace, but that, if you do not know Jesus, should not give you peace. God's Spirit should stir up your soul, and God's promises are true. And God has offered you a gift in his Son. And if you don't bow the knee and accept the gift given, God will have no choice but to punish you for your sins. He provided the way, and by rejecting Jesus, you are rejecting God. He not only provided a way for us to be saved and enter into a relationship with him, but he's faithful to keep us and through the work of his Spirit sanctify us. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it, we're told in Philippians. So we looked at the faithfulness of God in creation, through his people, through his word, and through his son Jesus. So what does that mean for us today? Those are all good knowledge pieces, but we can trust God to be faithful in our trials and in our weakness. No one says it better than the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, Jesus told him when he prayed to have the thorn in his flesh removed. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's an amazing truth. We all need to land there. And you know, we've sang these words in our song, the famous verses about the faithfulness of God in Lamentations. Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have you ever read the context of those verses? It's horrible. It's your homework. Lamentations 3. Go back and read it. Crazy, hopeless suffering that the prophet Jeremiah experienced. He was at the pit, in the pit. He was at the end of himself. And he describes how bad things are. And yet, this is where he lands. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We need to be there too. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter what is thrown at us, we need to land that God knows every detail of our life, and he will be faithful. In our weakness, let us be found faithfully running to God and allow his power to be made perfect in us. Let's cling to the love of God and his sovereign care for us rather than trying to tough it out ourselves or becoming bitter or angry. Claim the promises of God from his word and yield your will to his, and then watch him work. He will bring peace in the trials. But sometimes, and when we think about the trials, we think about sometimes we deserve the trials. Sometimes there are the consequences of things that we bring on ourselves, sin and wrong choices. But you know, God is even faithful in his discipline to us, because God disciplines those he loves, like a good parent will. So we can trust God to be faithful when we're tempted or when we sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So, ladies, when we are tempted to envy, covet, lust, gossip, overindulge, lie, tempted, we don't need to fall into sin. We can ask God to show us the way of escape. No excuses. God promises, and he will be faithful. He will provide another fruit of the Spirit, self-control, to you, and he can renew our minds, and he can change our desires. He is faithful if we allow him to do his work in our lives. And when we do fall or give into temptation or we fall into sin, even then God is faithful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is so gracious, even when we give in, even when we give up and try and run from him. You know, I've spoken to young people that say, I don't want to do the struggle anymore. I can't live with the struggle. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to battle. I don't want to feel conviction anymore. So I give up. I'm walking away. What does God say to that? This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. The hound of heaven will come after you. You may think you're running away, but God will be faithful, and he will come, and he will do his good work, and it will be tough, but he will draw you back to himself if you are truly his. He is an amazing, faithful God. So, that's God's faithfulness. But we need to exhibit that same attribute in our life if the fruit of the Spirit is going to be worked out in our life. So how do we do that? Well, one, God requires us to be faithful to him. Faithful to God. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. In order to grow in our faithfulness to God, we must be spending time in his word and in prayer. We need to be fighting the good fight, and that starts on our knees, and that starts in his word. So we need to be disciplined. And you know, I was recently at the funeral of David Lawrence, who lost his battle with cancer at 59. And as people shared stories of his faithful service to his Lord and Savior, I was so thankful for the kingdom impact of that man. And you know, we will never know the full impact of a life well lived this side of heaven. But as I listened to what he did and how he gave up everything to follow Jesus and just go where he was called, he lived a very simple life, never had much, but he had a huge impact. And I was convicted, and I said, can I be sure that I have used my time, my talents, my resources faithfully for the Lord? Am I hoarding my resources? Am I relying on my own abilities and stuff to get by? Or am I faithfully surrendering my life to his Lordship? I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, and I know it was said of our dear David that I'm sure he received the commendation from our Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So we have to recognize, ladies, that what we have belongs to God, and we're only stewards. We're called to care for our families and our resources, but none of these things should ever take a higher place in our life than our relationship with God. Finally, God calls us to be faithful to others. With full awareness that God must come first in our lives, we then must be the ones with our family and friends. We have to be the faithful ones with our neighbors and the needy in our community. They need to be able to count on us no matter what. Now, that does not mean we put our family over God. And sometimes we get that all wrong. We have to say, oh, I have to be faithful to my family first. No, God first, family next. With unfaithfulness in marriages abounding in everywhere we turn, we need to fight for purity in our relationships. We need to pray a hedge of protection around our marriages and put practical boundaries in place for ourselves with the opposite sex. People don't think about that. Everything's loosey-goosey these days, and no one thinks of, you know, how I'm going to protect my heart, how I'm going to protect my mind from being tempted in flirtatious ways at work or wherever we may encounter people that we become friends with. It's going to lead, we need to be able to flee that temptation. God's provided a way out before it leads to sin, because families are destroyed by that sort of unfaithfulness. We need to be people of our word. When we commit to something, we do it. We should be the best employees or employers because we have integrity, we are dependable, we are loyal and trustworthy. We need to be involved in ministry in our churches. We need to be faithful contributors rather than consumers. You ever think about that? So finally, as we reflect on our faithful God and our own faithfulness, I can't help but recall the scene described in Revelation 19 when Jesus returns with power and might, riding on a white horse, and it says he is called Faithful and True. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes or calls me home, my heart's desire, and I pray that it's your heart's desire, is that he will say those words to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen, ladies. Amen. So we're just going to sing, or going to play a quick song, just The Goodness of God. It's from Bethel Music, as we close off. Thank you so much.
Goodness. the goodness of our hearts.